This is a Wild Games Production podcast.
Welcome to the Classic Face Rip Podcast. We are back, yes, back for a new show. This is going to be episode number, or I should say issue number two. And the whole crew is here. Say hi, crew.
Hi, crew. Hola.
I'm Vince, sitting along with Matt and Nick, our crew here this week, to bring you the best and the very best and only the best in classic Marvel Face Rip.
Damn right.
Damn Skippy, right?
Damn Skippy.
So, what is our topic this week, Master Nick?
Master Nick,
Game well, Master Nick.
Now that we've established that,
yeah.
We're actually going to look at how you can do. You could, I guess, what you could call a low-powered campaign or a street level type game, where the characters are more about saving the day for the neighbor next door, getting the kitten out of the tree sort of stuff, or maybe, you know, just low level, low key. I don't want to say low key, but the powers and abilities are relatively limited, and you got to rely upon your wits a lot more, I would say. So that's what we're covering, about street level type, a game and how to create a character and maybe the whole environment around that.
So. Yeah. Well, these type of games are hard to do because you have to actually look at the rules and take a look at the charts and rework everything. I mean, if you want to make it random still, it's going to be a little difficult, but I think with some adjustment and some planning ahead of time and talking to your group, you can accomplish it pretty easily. Maybe adjust some of the charts. I'm thinking, what are you thinking, Nick? Maybe drop down the chart when you roll your abilities to something a little bit lower, as opposed to letting it go up to amazing. Drop it down two levels, maybe.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. When maybe having a your limits on your abilities, maybe just too remarkable, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I could also see just, okay, we're going to not have aliens. We won't have, like, robots. Like, a few of the classes that have the higher level and power levels. So if you kind of just say, okay, we won't use these and just readjust the chart for the ones remaining. That
right.
And then at that kind of brings some of that under control. Mm-hmm. You could even do... since in this game, the baseline human is just typical. If you just wanted to do regular people, you could use like the tech stats and just roll off that for your base stats. And then say, okay, then you just get your powers from there. Because if you have your base stats within that normal human range, like not no higher than... excellent, I think, or is it remarkable? I think it's excellent for the normal human.
Mm-hmm.
You do that and then roll the powers. Maybe you only give them one or two, and then have maybe give them a few more skills instead.
Mm-hmm.
That you can kind of get to where you need to be, so that way you don't have someone running around with like unearthly strength, one hitting all the mob goons.
Right. Well, I guess there's I was thinking about this, and there's a couple of ways I guess you can go on how your
normal folks,
your game world is going to be. Are they just going to be normal people that they're going to rely on a lot of gadgets and a lot of real world like weapons, or are you going to have people who might have maybe one or two like special abilities, you know? And if they are, they're very limited. There's a, you know, so I guess there's a couple ways you could go about that, you know? So, like, for example, on a game that's more just like they're ordinary people, they're a little crazy, obviously.
Yeah.
And they're dressing up as superheroes. You know, you could go with that sort of, you could go with that sort of angle, right?
Like the movie.
It's like,
yeah.
Like Gwenpool.
Yeah. Well, there's a, well, you know, even in the real world, there are people that dress up as real life superheroes.
Yeah.
But I guess the best example, if we want to get into that, for that sort of game is probably the Kick-Ass series of comics. As far as I know, everybody in those are relatively quote unquote normal people. You don't have any real special abilities, and they rely on real world weapons and maybe gadgets that they've made, stuff like that.
Speaking of what you were saying before, Nick, I forgot to mention in our notes to put this in, but there was actually an app out there for fighting crime. It was
like, oh really?
Yeah, it was only on iTunes for Apple briefly, but Android I think may still have it. It was a crime prevention app. People can use it to report crimes, and other people can go and combat the crimes. And you can use it to narrow down where the crimes and the criminals are running. People can use it to like photograph and report and stuff like that. Yeah, the police are definitely against the app.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, it was a vigilante app, pretty much.
Yeah, essentially, it's vigilantism. That's where, I guess, you know, with a game that's really based, quote unquote, on the real world, except that little kind of like superhero twist of ordinary people being superheroes or being heroes, you're going to have to think about the legal angles. I mean, technically, they're vigilantes. That's what they're acting like.
Yeah,
it's not like in the mainstream Marvel universe where there are superheroes, and I guess they're eventually kind of sanctioned by the government, you know. So you do have that. Oh, there are all the legal problems you would have to think of being a hero, someone dressed up as you know with a cape and a mask, mm-hmm. and they go try to run down a guy who's a thief, and they catch him and they punch him in the face. The cops come by. There's going to be some problems, to say the least. So here's that kind of angle you have to think of. I think when you look at a game like that one there, I think the game would be a little more deadly, a little more gritty. You know what I mean?
It would have to be you're going to be going against villains with guns, and you don't have any major healing factor because that whole superhero healing factor has been removed, because you're not really you're not this superhero. You're basically just a high-tech powered or normal, typical human that has, like Matt said, up to excellent. I verified that. You were right, Matt, on that. And so you really don't have anything blocking everything, so you can heal within the hour. So think of, you know, Daredevil. I mean, yeah, he has some minor abilities, but he gets shot. He can die. So
exactly.
Yeah. How many times, like in the Netflix show, did he run to Night Nurse to get patched up?
Yeah.
Right.
And he was near death, and if it wasn't for someone else being there to help him, would there not be a Daredevil?
Right. I guess that's the other sort of way you could go about a campaign. You could notch it up a little bit where you have the option of, when creating a character, you might have one or two maybe minor abilities like Daredevil has. I mean another good example is the Punisher.
Yeah.
I mean, he does not have any weird mutant abilities or anything like that. He is not even an augmented human like Captain America. You know, he is just a guy who's a veteran who works out a lot. I mean, if I remember correctly, back in the 70s when the Punisher was initially came out as a character, he was, I don't know if he was a bad guy, but he was like he was the anti-hero.
He
first appeared in Spider-Man.
Yeah, because he fought Spider-Man, but I think that was because he was under the control of the Jackal. So, but he's always had that. His Punisher's superpower is his willpower slash drive to keep going, no matter how beat up he is. That's his power. He'll have the scars. He'll be bleeding, but he'll still get up and fight.
That's how
his personality is his superpower.
Yeah, that's how he went toe-to-toe with Wolverine that whole series.
That's true. That's true.
I would have never thought he would have went past, like, 2 minutes with Wolverine, but apparently, you know, he can, so.
Right.
He has an incredible willpower. That's for sure.
Now, this type of street-level game, not everybody's going to be into this whole, you know, low-level thing, because they think superheroes, they think, you know, let's play Thor, let's play the Hulk, let's play, you know, Superman, you know. So you're going to have a group that's going to be like, well, let's try this street-level gritty-type game, and they have to really be into it, otherwise it's just going to be a one-shot flop.
Right.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And something also with the street-level campaign, I would say make use of the secret identity.
Oh, heck yeah. Absolutely.
You make them have a day job. Make them have to balance between going to work or fighting the villain.
Right.
Give them
love interests, maybe?
Right. Love interests, like family.
Bills to pay.
Right. Think of like in the Netflix, Luke Cage, he had Pop. He loved Pop, and that was his. He was, I'm not going to get involved. I'm just going to protect Pop. And then when Pop died, it was on. You give people those type of connections to give them a buy-in into the world and the neighborhood. Give them a reason to care about the neighborhood. Why do they care about this area?
Right.
And the NPCs, the stores, the people, the sites, all of that help create that environment. So I think that's the key to really getting a good buy-in to this, is having that world that's believable and that feels real to them, so they care about it and they want to keep it going.
Right, right. I was just thinking when you were talking about a world to care about, I was thinking about Deadpool, about how trying to get back to his, you know, with the movie there, with trying to get back with his girlfriend and living with the blind lady and, you know, kind of sort of caring for her in a weird, strange sort of codependent relationship they have, you know. But yeah, giving those characters something, not just, you know, fighting crime, but, you know, it's like, I want to protect that family down the street there.
Right. Because typically your street level games isn't the, like, lawful good, to steal a D&D term, hero that's just, I'm going to do what's truth, justice, American way. It's more like, I'm going to protect my friends. I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to protect this, my neighborhood. It's more personal.
I was also thinking, like, what Vince was talking about, to make it some tweaking on the rules. Like when he was talking about, like, as far as healing and your abilities, as far as how your basic abilities are, you might want to loosen up the karma rules a bit for this.
Well, you're gonna have
I think that, you know, I think that's kind of a given, because normally in a Marvel superheroes game, if you're playing Captain America, if he kills somebody, he's gonna get a pretty good karma hit, right? While in something like this, if you were gonna talk about I'll use the example, like, you know, the Kick-Ass universe there.
Yeah,
with him and Hit Girl and Big Daddy, you know, they kill people. It's not such a karma hit, if you will.
No, you just have to remove that rule entirely. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to have to get tweaked out for certain. And I think that's where, if you present it to the players that way, it's like, you know, this is a low-level campaign. It's going to be very real in the sense that, you know, you're not going to heal as quick, you're not going to go up abilities high, and your karma hits aren't going to be as great. But that being said, there's some trade-offs, you know. I mean, you could get hurt a lot more easily.
Well, you could also speaking of, we can go the other side of the spectrum, like Matt was saying in the beginning, and we can just give, or actually, I think you said it, Nick, give them one or two or three or whatever powers, but right. let them roll on the normal, typical human chart as opposed to the right. regular one. That way, they still have that sense of superism or superpowerism going on there, but it's really not that powerful, and you get that whole. Right. Street level, kind of like Teen Titans from DC or something, or
right.
Trying to think.
I always think of Daredevil when you talk of somebody like that.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
Daredevil is just a great example of that. I guess you could even put Deadpool in that thing because he only has one ability. He has that healing factor, and that's it. He doesn't have like laser beams coming out of his eyes or anything like that. So,
well, if you watched Wolverine Origins, he did.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You know what I mean.
Also, but, the Spider-Man level too is pretty much kind of maybe a little bit high-end street level, but I think yeah.
Right. I mean, I think it also depends on.
He's your friendly neighborhood wall crawler.
Yeah.
It depends on what type of villains you want them to fight. Do you want right. them to fight the mob and like street gangs and things like that? Or like Spider-Man, he's fighting super villains, but they're all super villains that want to rob banks and have like truckloads of money.
Right.
They're not the he doesn't often deal with the super villain that wants to blow up the world and crush everyone under their thumb like a Doctor Doom. He's right. dealing with like Sandman, Electro, people that are robbing banks and stealing gold.
Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, and right. Hobgoblin really isn't that.
Mr. Lizard.
Yeah, they're not that powerful. They have their one major thing that's going to make him try to overcome it. So,
right. They have their gimmicks, but they're usually, they have like their one and, the, right. and their motivations. Usually the motivations in your street level games are either motivated by revenge or greed.
Right.
Those are the two main themes. You're not looking. Typically, you're not looking at people that are trying to take over the entire neighborhood. Like, I guess if you wanted to do like the mob family behind the scenes, the social political manipulation, like bribing city councilmen and things like that, you could kind of have that. But it's not the world changing type of domination.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. An idea for to do a campaign. Maybe you have your group of low level characters, you know, not low level, but I would say a low powered characters, right? And they come together to fight a street gang. You know, there's this gang trying to take over a certain community, you know, and they're pushing drugs and they're doing other illegal activities and you want to put an end to it. And you get to the head of the gang, you take him down, however you do it. And then maybe you find something that there's another connection somewhere. Maybe someone higher up in the chain, if you get my drift.
Mm-hmm. Right. It goes from being a street.
And then it goes from there. And then maybe eventually, hey, you know, I just use an example. Maybe it's a street gang in Chicago. You take it on them. There's another guy who's trying to run all of Chicago. And that guy trying to run all of Chicago organized crime has ties to the Kingpin.
Ooh. Right.
He's trying to get in. And Kingpin's trying to get into Chicago mob or what, something like that.
Right. It's all about the layers of peeling the layers of the onion.
Yes.
You have that outer layer. It's like, okay, I see what this is. Oh, and as you get deeper, there's more to it.
There's more to that conspiracy going on.
Right. And so you can involve those type of themes if you want to go with like the organized crime route and and then it could even be maybe this group has like a super that works mm-hmm. with them, or it's sure. a super that's running it. And they're just not throwing themselves out there. Hey, but they use their power to scare everyone to follow them.
Mm.
But they don't actually get their hands dirty themselves. Absolutely had it.
Like
an organized crime route is really good. Another one would be, I know it's sometimes a sensitive issue for people, but terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Terrorism.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe they find out that not only is this street gang who they are, but they have ties to a terrorist organization. That's how they're getting their weapons.
Named Cobra. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Cobra!
I always thought low-level game, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be a perfect low-level game because it's it gives you that tech that's high-powered enough, and you can have like one or two like people help them out once in a while. Say like Ghost Rider, for example, like they used in the TV series.
Would be perfect. You can have Agent Phil.
Yeah, Coulson. Yeah, Coulson can come in with his alien technology.
Yeah. And there's so many different ways you could kind of play it out, but I think it's a really good, I think it's good doing it this way because I think it gives like, well, one, the players got to be a little more cautious. They don't just throw caution to the wind anymore. They got to really think about their actions because their characters could die.
Right. Or they could, or their characters could just be arrested and thrown in jail.
Right. But I like the whole idea, you know, like organized crime, you know, you got terrorism, you got people, you know, falling over things like right there.
That was probably a cat knowing Matt. So.
Yes, it was.
We'll edit that out.
No, I'm leaving that in. I'm leaving that in.
We're leaving that in. Yeah. Okay. But so I guess what we've established right now is if you're doing it low level, you got to tweak some of the rules like with karma, how far you go ahead in the increasing your abilities. And then also, I guess, with your powers, if you're going to have any, those are going to be rather limited and they're going to be difficult to increase over time as well, even more so as it is already.
You know?
So I guess with that, I guess we can move on to like, where are some of the things that you could get inspiration from? I already mentioned the Kick-Ass series of comics and then the movies,
which
I think are wonderful. I love them.
Yeah, we mentioned Daredevil, Punisher, Spider-Man. I mean, we were talking a little bit. So we mentioned Super with...
Super is another good one.
Yeah. Arrow, if you want to go into the DC realm.
The movie Mystery Men, if you remember that one back in 99.
Yeah.
That was an interesting film.
Ben Stiller,
Yeah, and then there's even for Marvel characters that do have, like, superpowers that fall under that street level, like Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah,
that's true. I almost forgot about... Remember Power Pack?
Yeah, Power Pack, the superpower toddlers.
Yep.
Then they also like Moon Knight.
Moon Knight, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the power of the Egyptian gods, but he also is dealing in that street level.
Right.
So you can have your superpowers and you can do all these amazing, fantastical things, but still be dealing with street level stuff.
Right. Now, I don't want to mention the people like, you know, you're listening to like that Kick-Ass series. There's other, apparently other comics that are tied into them. That Kingsman, the Secret Service, also Wanted by Kevin Millar. It's a whole Millar verse, they're calling it now. So they're all tied in. So that's a whole another whole low level universe in itself. So that's something that take inspiration too. But yeah, like Punisher, Daredevil, Spider-Man, some of the others, like I always liked Moon Knight. I thought it was always kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, really, you could pretty much just read the newspaper to get story ideas for these type of games.
If anybody hasn't seen the movie Super, go watch it.
It's great. Yeah.
It's hilarious. And it's kind of twisted in some areas. If you like that sort of humor.
I'm going to do a little spoiler here for the movie, but remember the one scene when he was waiting in line and then the guy pisses him off. So he goes back to his car, changes into his super outfit in the car, and then comes back with his weapon to beat the guy up. The guy's like, really, dude, I just saw you change in your car.
Yeah.
That part always cracked me up every time I see it.
Oh, my God. That is such a funny movie.
That movie totally, if you ever watch The Office, that movie screams Dwight.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. I guess there was some controversy when it was released because it came out about the same time as Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It did. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was like, oh, you're just doing like Kick-Ass Light. And so, yeah, there were some people kind of.
I don't know. They're very similar, the two movies, but it had different characters and a different
feel about it.
I cared. Yeah. I think I cared more about him in Super than I did about them in Kick-Ass, to be honest.
Yeah, I did too, because he was just such an... He was like I don't know what to say, ordinary guy. He was just the, yeah, he's an ordinary Joe, but he's like Charlie Brown. You know, everything went bad for the poor guy.
And then just had snapped.
Yeah, and just snapped. So, so yeah, and yeah, another one I'm going to have to watch again is Mystery Men. I remember seeing it a long time ago, but yeah. I remember it was an enjoyable movie.
Nemesis.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can even do this the comedic street level too. Have your players have some silly powers and have some silly gimmicks.
Yep.
And then they go and they're fighting crime but bumbling along the way.
Yeah, like a Mystery Man. They call me the Spleen.
Yeah.
In his superpower of
right. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the dark, gritty 1990s every comic book written.
Right.
Every Frank Miller comic book written. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't have to be that. It's kind of what people want to default to because a lot of the epic story arcs for the street level characters were written by Frank Miller.
Yeah,
right. Like
your Punisher, your Daredevil. So therefore, at that point, you end up bringing a lot of Frank Miller into your stories, but you don't have to.
Right. I think with any good story, you got to inject a little comedy here and there.
Right.
It's too heavy.
Yeah. If you want something lighter, read the early runs, like the Stan Lee runs of Daredevil.
Yeah.
You still got your street level, but it still has that more Excelsior Marvel feel to it.
Yeah.
Than the I'm dark and brooding in the shadows.
Yes.
So.
That's what people liked, and I don't know why. That's another thing we need to add to our little docket there to talk about 90s comics and how people are really ashamed of that era. That'd be a good topic
why?
To explore.
We'll talk about it, but yeah, the whole 90s comics is very interesting with everything that was going on.
All the brooding, introspective characters.
Wow. That in the...
massive.
The founding of Image Comics and why that happened. And
I remember when all that went down. In fact, I'll have to tell you a story about that at the Comic-Con I went to in 92.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes.
Episode 3.
Here we go.
All right. So street level games, it's not really an easy thing to pull off. You have to have a group that's going to agree with the concept of it and want to be into it to have that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Punisher, Spider-Man type game, maybe, you know, a low powered Teen Titans type game. They have to be into that. My group is not into that. They're all, well, I mean, they are kind of essentially a low power group. They all have their one or two major powers, but they can, together, they can really make some impact on the world. So it's not really low powered. So,
Right. Well, because also, if you think about it, a lot of your street level comics are solos.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, you got your heroes for hire, but for the most part, it's a single person. I think that's also why street level campaigns end up that grittier, darker, because it's just a one person. So it ends up being very introspective at times. And it also, they don't have that supporting cast of supers to help them. So therefore, they're going to get a little more beat up because it's usually one versus many. So... Yeah. But in this game, your street level, it's going to be more like a Heroes for Hire. It's going to be that more of a group setting unless you're doing a solo game.
Unless you're doing a solo game. And you can understand why they would go alone, solo, because they don't know who they could trust.
Right.
Trust is a big issue on a street level. But if you're going to go with a group, you can, of three, four characters... You can make it very interesting how they meet up. It's not necessarily that they, you can't go with the all meet in a tavern. I mean, good, but then they're done. That got the T-shirt, right?
Right.
You can go with a way where there's a bit of a misunderstanding. Like maybe one thinks the other one's a bad guy.
Like in the game I was running, the way I had all the players meet, one of them had enough resources to own a house. With multiple bedrooms. So the others were renting rooms and none of them knew they were supers.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
So it hit the point where like something was happening like across the street from their house in a park. Like like a riot was breaking out. So like they're all trying to sneak change their outfits to so they can go fight it at the same
and not have anybody else in the house see them.
Right. And then eventually like the owner was like, wait a minute, figured something out. And then eventually they all revealed, okay, yeah, I did.
Hey, you're George. Yeah, and you're Tit.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, because one of them was like the way I was using the actual Marvel maps, and the way it was, they bought one of that. The one guy owned a house that was like across the street from like one of the hospitals, and it just so happened one of the characters was like a nurse, like is their real job. So it was like he rented the house, a room right across the street from work because it was really convenient. So we had that, and then the other one ended up renting a room for just for whatever reason. And then all that breaks down. So you have the one nurse was on shift while the riot was happening. And then the other two are across the street watching it from, they're like, oh, we should probably do something. Yeah. But they're all trying to sneak around. Like one was trying to sneak out the back door while the other was sneaking out the front door. And
they all see this going on and everybody's making up excuses why they have to quote unquote leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a cake burning in the oven and I'll see you later. Changes right. The costume.
Right. And you'll run into situations like that in the street level game, especially depending on the supporting characters. Like how many times has Spider-Man had to have awkward exits because things need to go down?
Yep.
Or the fact and then you end up with like the roommate like Aunt May who never quite figured it out. He was Spider-Man for some reason.
Wow.
Well, did they establish that Aunt May was one of like the elders of the universe or something like that?
No. There was all kinds of weird things. And then I don't even want to go into the retconning of when Aunt May died and Spider-Man made the deal with Mephisto. And
yeah, I know. All right.
Cool. All right. Well, tell us what you think for street level games. Give us your feedback, which you all have been doing a lot. So I just wanted to jump into our feedback/email section now before we end the show. And say we did have a lot of positive feedback on Facebook from the group saying mostly what everybody wanted to hear was not so much the material itself because it's been out for, 30 years or whatever, because it's free. Yeah. Anybody can read it. But they mostly wanted when we talked to give our thoughts about how we can use the material in different ways. And I think this episode right here was a perfect example how to take the material that is there that everyone's read, how I handle it and make it different or better. So hopefully this will help you with a street level game. I know it's a small, niche inside of a niche, you would usually say about things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the very long tail of a long tail.
Yeah. Some people really enjoy it and want to play that level game. So we wanted to tackle that on early on to, give people an idea of what they can do. And if they don't get anything from it, at least they had an entertaining show and maybe a thought burns in the back of their mind. And who knows? Something might brew, right? Guess not.
Yeah.
You can also write us at, bullpen@classicfacerip.com. And we do have some emails, actually, Matt.
Yes, we do. We got a couple emails here. We got the first one is from Rob, a.k.a. Eld. He just thanks us for the podcast, and he starts talking, and he just tells us about his group and how they use a point build system to create characters, which is actually something we should probably talk about in the future because he asked about that. And actually a point build system would be perfect for your street level game.
Yeah.
So we'll have to delve into that into more depth in another show. And he also mentions how he's had problems finding other players and that he found some people off of a Casual Gamers Inc. on Pro Boards. I guess there's a gamer forum there to find other gamers there. So that's another thing that I haven't heard of. Casual Gamers Inc. on Pro Board. So.
And he uses Ventrilo to chat.
Yeah, Ventrilo's like one of those chat programs that's been around forever.
I know that and TeamSpeak. And I use TeamSpeak when I'm playing a couple games online with the groups I play. And I'm just like, what? People still using these things? There's Discord and all these other things you can use, but people still use the basics like Ventrilo and TeamSpeak, which I find amazing that it's still supported.
It's like the people that still use ICQ.
Yeah.
It's like, it does the job. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, it's still around. And then he talks about they trying to use Roll20 and some of the other online tabletops for this game. So,
oh, that's cool. Yeah, there is a whole thing set up for Roll20 for Marvel. I know that. Saw some people talking about that. So I haven't tried it out myself, but I know it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never actually used any of those. I've just never did online role-playing outside of, like, playtesting 5th Ed. Yeah. So that's a whole new world for me. And then he asked, what's the schedule of the podcast? Well, we're shooting for, I think, bi-weekly. It just, there's a little delay between issue 1 and 2 due to, well, holidays and life, unfortunately. But no, we're shooting for a consistent, like, every 2 week schedule.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's what we're shooting for.
So that's what that, and so you can expect more of us and a little more frequently than the gap between issue 1 and 2. So don't,
well, yeah, 2018, we should be back on schedule. Like Matt said, the holidays and people being sick and,
yeah.
Couple people forgetting the schedule, me and Nick.
Yeah. It is like, yeah. The last time we were supposed to record this show, I failed my endurance check and was in bed for 3 days with a vicious stomach virus. So, yeah, you can blame me on that one. That one.
Then Nick and I played the, what time was the show? Oh, we missed it type.
Yeah. 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 And I'm like, oh, I had my head 7 o'clock. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whatever.
But yeah, and then he just, yeah, thanks us for pointing out like all the various other resources out there, because there is a lot out there on the internet for this. I mean, the game may have ceased publication in the early 90s, but you wouldn't know that by looking at all the fan created stuff. So
yeah,
it's just one of those games that just didn't really die. I mean,
right.
DC, the DC Hero Universe game. Yeah. It pretty much died. I mean, there is still support of building of, I see characters here and there, but I don't see the love and support that I see with Marvel.
Yeah, that system was interesting.
I like it, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem some people have is it's exponential, the math.
Hmm.
So 1, 2's twice as powerful as 1, and 3's twice as powerful as 2, which is twice as powerful as 1. And so that way they didn't have to give Superman a strength score of like 5,485,216.
Also, Marvel has the fact that it has 2 sets, advanced and basic. That's it.
Yep. Right.
DC has 1 edition, 2 edition, Batman edition, 3rd edition, then Blood of Heroes edition. So
And then they switched to the universe system.
Yeah,
West End got it, because it started with, I think that was also part of the problem. We went from Mayfair to West End, and they completely changed the system.
Yeah, they had that weird dice with like all the different symbols on it.
Right.
The Master System, I think it was called. I didn't like that too much. Not that it's anything wrong with it. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, it just, I have both, but never struck that chord like Marvel did.
No, so. Just this game has struck the chord that people, like he's saying in his email, he joined the official Uncanon group. I'm sorry, the unofficial Canon group. And he's, you know, seeing all the information in there, the dedicated people in there dropping things left and right every month. Like they have that Gamer's Handbook that they release every month now, it looks, seems like. I think that's the name. I'm blanking on it right now, but I have to look.
Yeah, it just seems it has... It has a cult following and it's never died.
Right. Yeah. It has that passionate following where people are going to keep it alive. And I think that's something a lot of dead games just don't have. And that's why they kind of just fade into the background. Whereas this, it's still alive and well.
Yeah. Wizards of the Coast missed the boat on it. They should have renewed the license.
Right.
Oh, well.
By that point. There was also that one other Marvel Universe game that was put out by TSR.
Yeah.
Oh, Marvel Universal or whatever universe.
Yeah, it was Marvel Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Was the name of it. And it. So, and then since then, there's.
It was the Saga system. That's what it was.
Yeah, the Saga system. That's right.
Yeah.
And then we've got another email here. We got one from Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, just said he's thrilled beyond belief.
He's Brian.
Brian. Yeah. Said he was thrilled beyond belief to hear the podcast and thought we did a great job describing the system, even though he does think we might have oversold the use for a fantasy system.
Why?
Fantasy games with this system.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. He was like, yeah. And he would love to hear our thoughts on on judging the system, because he's been wanting to judge for a while and just wants more info on like how to run this, to structure. Do you go for like the one shots, or do you go for more episodic? How do you structure your story?
That's a good one.
Right. Do you want to do like the Buffy big bad of the week? Or do you want to have something a little more closer to like maybe a story arc? So that's definitely something we should delve into.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he talks about also, and again, like the pacing of the story. How do you pace the Marvel system to get where you need to go? And then talks about how to get players excited to play characters that don't have a lot of powers, like a Nick Fury is the example he throws out. So, and that actually ties in a lot with what we talked about in this podcast with the street level, because they're going to be lower powered
in this very episode.
Yeah. So we talked about it, Brian, for you. And then he talks about he likes the idea of running like a Lost Tales of the Marvel comic universe, where you send Peggy Carter across time and space to fight Red Skull on a Nazi one planet, and just like all the different possibilities of that when you start taking these characters and sending them into like the alternate dimensions and like, so yeah, it's just like endless possibilities.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he's like, yeah, he's like, great podcast, and happily hit the subscribe button. I'm like, so thank you very much, Brian, for that one. And we appreciate hearing your feedback and emails and like getting show ideas, because we want to hear what you guys want to hear as well. So if you have an idea for something you want to hear us talk about, please email us bullpen@classicfacerip.com and let us know. We enjoy all feedback. So.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And head over to iTunes and leave us a review so we can read that on the air as well.
Right. Right. And also the way iTunes works, if the more reviews you have, it helps us in the search results as well, too. It helps us gain a little bit of traction, get the podcast out there and spread the love of this system. So
definitely.
Absolutely.
So I guess on that note, we're going to say good night, everybody, and Excelsior.
Excelsior!